Welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast, a series of healthy conversations with inspiring hustlers. I'm your host, Madeline Carafa. In this healthy conversation, I'm delighted to be joined by entrepreneur, lifestyle influencer, and mama, Revy Jane. Refreshingly real and honest, Revy Jane is one of my favorite women to follow online. Courageously sharing her personal and professional life, Revy has built an incredibly engaged and devoted audience where she is able to support, encourage, and inspire women around the world to accept every challenge and believe in themselves. Facing adversity throughout her early years, Revy is on a journey of working on worthiness and self-love, which she openly shares with her adoring audience. Inspiring, uplifting, and incredibly kind are a few ways I would describe this powerhouse entrepreneur. Revy truly embodies what it means to live a life with purpose. I took so much out of this conversation with Revy, and I hope you do too. Happy listening. This episode of The Healthy Hustlers is proudly brought to you by Pod and Parcel, biodegradable coffee pods that bring the aroma and flavor of real cafe coffee. Hello, beautiful Revy, and welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Mads.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. We've already had such a beautiful chat before hitting record, so I'm really excited to get into the episode because I know my audience will get so much from you. And I've adored following your journey. I find you just so inspirational, and I love how raw and open and honest you are, and it's all to help other people, which is just such a beautiful thing. So I hope you're really proud of all the work you do. It's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, I do love starting off by finding out one piece of self-care that you've been prioritizing recently. I think it's pretty wild times at the moment, and self-care is one thing that we really need to be prioritizing at the moment. So is there something that you've been doing to really fill up your own cup?
I totally agree. And I feel like in these times, it's really difficult because you're really trying to accommodate and hold space for your little ones or your partner. Your work might be in jeopardy. So it's really difficult to kind of make sure it's a priority. But I have been working really hard to do that. One thing that I have been doing recently, it's kind of a self-practice that I've like fallen in and out of love with. Like I used to do it years and years ago. And then I remembered it as a tool, and I've been doing it in the last couple of weeks. It's been really difficult and challenging and almost like mean girl to myself as of late, which is unfortunate, but it does happen. I'm my own worst critic, which many people can relate to. But yes. I guess one thing that I do within journaling, so I journal every day and meditate, but one thing I do within my journaling is I actually write down what the mean girl within my own thoughts has said to me. And last week it was something like, you know, you didn't get enough done today, and that makes you unworthy, and that it's not enough. And so one thing that I've been doing as a self-care practice is countering that with love. So it's almost like a conversation you would have with a girlfriend. If a girlfriend said to you, I'm so annoyed at myself, I didn't get everything that I wanted to done today, and I was just lazy, I took too much rest, or I just wasn't as productive as I wanted to be. It's almost like you would say to her, babe, you're doing enough, you're doing so much, please be kinder to yourself. So it's me in a way being really, really compassionate and gentle and giving myself a verbal hug and saying, you know, no matter what you've done, if you've done nothing today, like allow yourself to do that and give yourself a pat on the back for allowing and honoring yourself for needing that rest. This is completely new territory for me because I've always, the majority of my life, definitely tied my productivity to my worth, which makes for a really good worker, but not so great on being just kind to myself. So that's one of the practices I've been doing recently, and it's really effective.
I love that so much, and I am 100% going to incorporate that into my journaling because it's really funny you touch on that. I'm finding I'm definitely quite hard on myself. Like I know I've got quite a high expectation of myself, especially when it does, I guess, come to work. But since having a baby, I feel like I haven't let go of that pressure, which can be quite damaging, I guess, at times, and has definitely made me have a lot of really rough days. And
I'm putting that pressure on myself to have it all together and to, you know, and those comments of like, you didn't get enough done today, or are you serious? It's 7:15 and you're still in bed. Like, get up, Maddie, get up. Instead of just honoring the way I feel and being comfortable with it. And I think we get so accustomed to it almost and think that we always have to be operating at that speed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that you touched on that, because I think there's so many people that could totally relate to that. And as soon as you said it, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so guilty of that. Like, I just do it to myself nonstop.
And I think the journaling also just makes you do some self-reflection, because sometimes we just feel horrible and we're not even sure why we're feeling so bad about ourselves and why we're feeling so guilty and ashamed. And it's not because someone else is saying it to us, and unfortunately sometimes it is someone saying to us or encouraging those thoughts, but a lot of the time it's just our own internal pressures, and we don't realize how important those words and those feelings that we're putting towards ourselves. So journaling and putting it on paper really allows us to have that moment of self-reflection and listening to that internal dialogue that is just ingrained in us. So it really allows us to affirm the opposite and counter those negative feelings to positive ones. And I've always preached about positive affirmations, and I think that's really how positive affirmations come about, is understanding what we're telling ourselves that isn't great and affirming the opposite.
Absolutely. Be aware of where those underlying triggers and negative thought patterns are coming from, and then just reinforcing time and time again until you truly believe it with a really positive affirmation. It's a really great way to look at affirmations, I think.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy times that we're living in at the moment. I don't think anyone could have ever predicted that 2020 would bring about what it has. And it's quite uneasy times, unsettling times for everyone, no matter what your situation is right now. So I'd love to know from you personally, how have you really been prioritizing your health at the moment?
I feel like you, in a crisis moment where we're having a global pandemic, we really look to our loved ones to see if they're okay. And as a mom, I know that it just happens, whether we like it or not. We try to make sure that everyone else is okay before our own selves. And this is something that I touch on my platform quite regularly, is that we really need to look after ourselves first and foremost in order to be able to show up and be our best selves for our little ones, for our partners. And for me, I'm not saying that as a place that this is what I practice and this is what I do, I'd never fall off the bandwagon. No, absolutely not. I catch myself 2 weeks deep into putting everyone else's needs first and feeling so lost and down. And it takes me a moment to remember and to look at what I preach every day and say, what have you done for yourself today? Have you done anything that is completely dedicated to you and is selfless, or selfish, I should say? So yeah, it's been a challenging time to do that work. But for me, it's just doing something that lights you up, whether it's, I know this sounds crazy, but I've been like dancing on TikTok and it's so much fun.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I mean, like, that is not productive. That is not serving anyone else. I am literally just having fun and being creative. That is a form of, you know, self-love and a form of giving back to myself. So I was exercise. So I was going for a walk with a friend. And yeah, during these times, that's been difficult to do because some states have had that restriction and still have that restriction. And so it's really difficult to prioritize health at the moment, but it's more than important than ever, as much as it's a difficult time.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I've seriously loved watching your TikToks. They have been so funny. You have really nailed a lot of those, like really nailed them. I'm like, girl, you've like got the art for this.
I feel like
it's like a hidden talent.
It's honestly just so much fun, and I feel like it's a bit of freedom through the app. It's very lighthearted. It's not as deep as we can get on Instagram, and I think there's a place for that as well. Like, I love connecting
Absolutely.
With people on a deeper level, but I love just like the lighthearted fun stuff as well.
Yeah, definitely. No, I love that so much. And I have really enjoyed seeing people get on TikTok and have a bit of fun with it. I think, you know, dancing and laughter and all of those things like are so important for our health. And we sometimes forget that, or, you know, we focus on our health having to be about what we eat and working out, and we forget about all of the other things that need to fall into place for us to be ultimately healthy and thriving. So I think just bringing that bit of joy and happiness and laughter into to a day is so, so important. So yeah. I love that so much. But I guess for anyone who doesn't know a huge amount about you, which I'm sure isn't many, but I would love to know what your elevator pitch would be.
I'm a woman who has faced a lot of adversity in her life, who's constantly working on self-worth and love. And I do try and share little bits and pieces here and there on my platform. But I guess it's just a daily ins and outs of living a positive and optimistic life, despite having gone through what I've gone through. As a child, I was sexually, physically, and emotionally abused. So it's I face abandonment as a young child. So it's something that is very close to my heart is, you know, creating a life that you feel worthy and content in. And I do that through all different avenues, like I just said, like through positivity and laughter, but also through fitness is a huge avenue of self-love for me, and really where it all began for me, sharing my online fitness journey. And I guess, you know, I am like a mental health advocate and a self-love advocate, but I try and do it just really gently, like I approach it myself in day-to-day life. I approach it with my community in day-to-day life and in little conversations throughout the week. And I absolutely love sharing my life. It's something that's come really naturally to me. And I owned a gym for about 6 years, which was an all-women's group facility training center. Was amazing, and eventually it all ended up online, where now I have a platform of, you know, over 200,000 people who I just adore and appreciate so much, that we can talk and have conversations that are not sometimes very easy. And, you know, the majority of the time it's really landed on respectful people, even if we tend to disagree or we have different views on things. It's always, not always, but the majority of the time it's a beautiful space.
Yeah. Well, you just do such an incredible job at being so open and honest that makes people so drawn to you and so comfortable to talk to you. And I think that's such a beautiful quality to have. And for you to be able to do that on such a large scale is absolutely incredible. And I know that you're really helping so many women and really helping to transform their lives. So it's a beautiful community that you've built, and a really beautiful platform that you're able to share and to help. I guess sharing so much of your personal journey as a mum and also professionally, how have you kind of become comfortable over time with really leaning into that fear? Because I think naturally there is a lot of fear that comes with sharing and being vulnerable enough to share things, especially things that have caused pain in your life. How have you kind of become really comfortable with being able to do that?
The most important thing about that question is that you're misunderstanding that I'm comfortable. I'm not comfortable at all with sharing that stuff. And I think that's where I kind of promote, or I encourage, and I have from my experience understand that not a lot of growth happens from our comfort zones. And not a lot of connection, deep connection, and that's what I'm trying to achieve through my platform, comes from comfort zones. I talk about a lot of uncomfortable things. I literally will create a post. It'll take me a week to post it, and I'll hit publish and throw my phone across the room thinking, how the hell, what did you just do? What did you just do? Yeah. And, you know, completely freak out. So there's a lot of uncomfortable moments in sharing these things, and especially when it's not, it hasn't landed with the community well, or someone's being nasty about it. You know, when I share something about body image or my mental health or a decision I've made and it's met with hate or criticism, that is so terrifying and really difficult, because it's public. It's for everyone to see. And one of the most uncomfortable situations I've landed in is when I was pregnant and sharing my training, which included weight training while pregnant. I had so much criticism to the point where people were saying that my baby wasn't going to survive, or how could you be so vain to train while you're pregnant? And really uneducated people talking about the health and life of my unborn child. That is extremely uncomfortable. It is so hurtful. And I think what I've learned is that my voice and my resilience that I've had to go through is, that's my purpose, is to be able to stand for what I believe in and to stand for those that don't have a voice, just to be a role model for those who are still currently in an abusive situation or an unconventional house or home where they don't feel where they belong. I'm a result of that. You know, I was rejected at a very young age, and I had to really, I'd still daily work on the struggle to believe that I'm worthy and that I am enough. And some days are harder than others, and some days I feel so full of love, but it's an ongoing journey. And I think I want to be that person to just one person. I don't mind how many people I help, as so long as I'm helping someone. And that takes a lot of, yeah, like you said, leaning into the fear. And I remember the first time I shared something that was, you know, vulnerable, and the outpouring it had. I think I had about 5,000 followers, but I had so many messages from women across the world just saying, hey, that really helped me. That was really inspiring. And I really, that made me feel less alone. And that's all I need. That is the fire in my belly to keep going with this.
That obviously sounds like what allows you to keep stepping into that fear, because I totally agree with what you say about the comfort zones. Like I always say, good things don't come from comfort zones. And as soon as you get comfortable with being uncomfortable, you start to see that that's where the magic lies. And the magic might be in, you know, those people reaching out to you and saying that you're helping me. Like that just continues to burn that fire and keep you inspired and keep you knowing that you're doing things for a much bigger reason than yourself.
Yeah, it does keep me showing up for them.
Yeah, absolutely, because you're doing it for so many other people other than just yourself. Like you are that voice for them, and you're, you know, you're that best friend that they can lean on and that inspiration that they can look at and think, you know, you're showing up every day. So I love that you do say that you're still stepping into that fear, and because I think that that's, it's funny, it's just something that I wanted to ask you, because it's something that comes up a lot for me. Like people, and I know it was a huge barrier for me for so long, was that feeling of fear of like being too scared almost to put my feelings or my thoughts out there. But I think taking that approach of like, well, if it can help one person, then it was worth doing. And, you know, you touched on that, if it's helping someone. And I think, you know, going back to your why and being so rock solid on why you're doing something as well also allows you to really get outside of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I love that you're still, you know, that that's something that you work on every day. I think that it's definitely something that most successful people, I would say, are still doing. I don't think anyone completely is just comfortable with what they're doing, because they wouldn't be as driven.
they wouldn't be who they are if they're just sitting in their comfort zones. And yeah, it is. It's really, it takes a lot of courage to be brave, but I think that for anyone that's like on the fence about it, there's comfort in knowing that people with big followings or who are widely successful still feel discomfort. You know, like I think we look to people and we put them on a pedestal and we think they know what they're doing. They are no different to you. You know, we're all equal. It just takes that moment of bravery and that insight that you might have that will resonate with your community, and it can change a life. It can improve someone's day and someone's perspective on their situation. And I think when you focus on that purpose and that reasoning, it is so much bigger than yourself, and you become a person of service for others. And that is like just so fueling for me.
We'll be right back after this healthy break. Attention coffee lovers, I'm urging you all to try the coffee pods from Pod and Parcel. All you need is an espresso machine and you'll be able to whip up some mouth-watering coffee at home that tastes as good as your favourite barista makes. Pot and Parcel was started by a couple of Aussie blokes, or self-confessed coffee nerds, right here in Melbourne. And let me tell you something about people from Melbourne. They know their coffee. So Pot and Parcel really was born from a love of good coffee. But Pot and Parcel aren't like regular coffee pods. Their pods and packaging are 100% biodegradable and compostable, breaking down in just 90 days. Yes, you heard right, 90 days, making them a much more environmentally friendly option without compromising on taste, so you don't need to worry about that kind of burnt and bitter instant tasting coffee flavour. Just real good coffee. With thousands of 5-star reviews, Pod and Parcel bring the aroma and flavour of real cafe coffee to the comfort of your home. The best part, by using Pod and Parcel's subscription, your pods will just show up at your door, so you'll never have to run out of good tasting coffee again. So to treat yourself to a delicious and sustainable caffeine fix, visit Pod and Parcel today at www.podandparcel.com or simply click the link in the show notes and get your hands on some real good coffee today.
Now, I would love to talk about you. I know we chatted about it prior to hitting record, but you are a mum to two beautiful girls. So I'd really love to talk about, I guess, Revy as a mum, and especially being a mum to girls, because I know we're talking about, I was saying to you that, yeah, I feel like I'm going to have all girls now, which I never had thought previous to having a daughter. Yeah. So what does being a mum mean to you?
It's very hard to describe, as many people can appreciate, but it is just the most beautiful, overwhelming, challenging, tiring, rewarding job in the world. It's my greatest honour and biggest responsibility, and I've done so much work. It's like the work that I was doing has been fast-tracked since becoming a mother, because I want to feel and believe whole and content for them. It's like another motivator for me, not just for myself, but for them to really lead by example and to love myself so that they can experience what a mother is like who completely accepts herself the way that she is. Yeah, and even having little women, like I just, you know, I never had that really strong foundation, the belief systems that I've had to break through in having, I guess, a mentally ill mother is just so far from the environment that I'm trying to raise my girls in. And it's just such a huge responsibility, and I don't think that anyone can comprehend it until it happens. And yeah, I absolutely love being a mum. I love the work of Nikki McCann, who owns the Dear Mama podcast, and she's, you know, always talking about how motherhood is a catalyst for transformation into becoming the person that you're meant to be. And I love that. Like, I think there's so much power in that. And I think when you become a mum, you're like, I'm the teacher, like I'm going to teach you. And that's pretty straightforward in terms of like teaching them how to brush their teeth and teaching them how to walk and all that stuff. But in terms of finding a teacher for life, they're our teachers, like 100%. And I don't think you realize that until they slap you in the face with, you know, this massive teaching of patience or self-reflection, or yeah, just they're just incredible teachers.
Oh my goodness, I just like am beaming just listening to that, because it's just resonating so much. I've just started reading the book The Conscious
yes,
Parenting,
same.
I think it's called, or The Conscious Parent. Conscious are you? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And exactly that. It's all about how parenthood is actually really transformational and quite a spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny for me. I actually found pregnancy a very, very spiritual experience. Mm. And I've always been quite a spiritual person, but I think, and I'd always thought about pregnancy so much. And when I was pregnant, it all felt so right, but I just couldn't believe how much of a spiritual experience it actually was. And I think, birth as well. And now reading this book, it's just changing shifting that mindset around, like exactly what you said, like, you know, we don't have to be their teachers. We're actually learning so much through mm-hmm. their eyes and their personalities, and to be able to foster that and nurture that little human being and let them be whatever they're meant to be is,
I know,
pretty
amazing,
massive role, and something like I definitely underestimated until I was like holding her and I'm like, oh my goodness, like this is forever.
Yeah, all we're taught is that, like, from, like, I know my friends' parents and that, it's all about following in your parents' footsteps.
Yes,
that's how for generations we, that's our goal, is to please yeah, our parents' dreams and to fulfill the dreams that they weren't able to achieve. And that is so skewed. And no wonder, you know, so many people feel like failures, because we're not actually, that's not my dream. That is not my dream. Like, that's, I'm my own person. And we know that. And then yet we're still repeating that pattern in that process. So the works of her and Philippa Perry, just, I feel like this is the generation where a lot of patterns will be broken. And I'm so grateful for that, because I think we're one of the first generations to actually really look at our own crap and go, I yep. didn't do a very good job there, and I'm working on being better. That feedback, that conversation is a lot more open, I feel. And I hope that is across mm-hmm. the board. But I know from speaking to a lot of my friends who are mothers and mates who are dads, like, it is where we are open to being wrong, which is nice, which I yes. can say that safely, that most Definitely. Of our parents don't feel that way.
No, absolutely. And I could not agree more with that. And it's really funny. I've, you know, we'll try to kind of go to bed each night with that approach of, like, how can I be better tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Like, what yep. did I do yep. today that didn't make me the best possible mum, you know, in yep. that day? Or what can I learn tonight going to bed to make me better tomorrow? And I think when you are, you know, I'm sure you're exactly the same. When you're big on, and I know a lot of people listening to this, when you're big on self-development and self-growth, like, it's a huge, I'm just realizing how huge this time is right now for me to grow and to develop. And mm. yeah, it's quite exciting, to be honest.
It's,
and
I feel really beautiful though.
Like, I feel really lucky that we're raising children today.
Yeah. It's such a gift.
Yeah. It's really special. It is, absolutely. So I guess with your business though, how has, like, the Revy Jane brand evolved over the years, and how are you now managing that with such a young growing family?
I have a very supportive husband. He is just, you know, my number one support, and, you know, we're such a team. Our partnership is very equal, and we're both coming from the molds of, we were both raised in houses where the woman does the housework and the man does the earning the money, and we've both had to evolve into what would we want for our children, what would we want for Lexi and Lola, and it's that equal support and love and respect for each other. So that is a huge part in the Revy Jane brand that lots of people don't see. I mean, they probably see it and they follow Clay, because he's just the most loving human on the planet. I always get really emotional whenever I stop and talk about how amazing that. He is. Stop it. Okay.
Back on track. That is so beautiful.
And I guess it evolved from business to motherhood, because I couldn't not talk about motherhood. I couldn't not talk about it. I'm just an open book, really. So when I go on there, I'm going to be speaking about the challenges of it. Obviously, I'm trying to be a lot more mindful of the age. Like, it becomes so much more difficult as they get older and as they get their own friends. You've got to be a little bit more wary about what you share, where they go to school, all that stuff is going to be playing a big part in the future. But yeah, I've always been just vulnerable and open to the challenges that I've faced, and so that's included business, that's included motherhood, and I just try and work it authentically into my business. And I think there's space in a business to talk about both. I think people connect to the personal side of your business as much as they do your product. I know for me as a consumer, I want to know about the person behind the brand. And that became really clear to me really early on, actually, with CrossFit Babes Miami, my CrossFit affiliate. When I opened my gym, I had two Instagram accounts, and I had CrossFit Babes and I had Revy. I don't even remember what it was called, but it was my personal one. And my personal one, even though I was putting so much effort into CrossFit Babes and treating it as a business and posting daily, and it was the personal brand that people were interested in. Like people want to know your why. People want to know about you and your personal motives. So yeah, it became really clear to me that it's the person behind the business and the reasons why you've started that business is really important to people. So I hate to say it, but it's evolved organically and has been really successful in doing that.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think that's such a beautiful way of it evolving because, you know, you're attracting or you're, I guess, aspiring to people who look up to you as such an inspiration or who maybe want to be a mum like you one day or who already are a mum and are taking so much from your learnings and your experiences. So I think that's such a beautiful way of the business evolving and obviously shows why it's been so successful and why you have such a beautiful, engaged community because you are open to sharing those things as they play out, I guess. So, and it's funny, on one of my last podcast episodes, it was about, like, I guess, finding your passion. And I spoke a bit about how I think we often get caught in trying to put businesses, and it's probably a lot that comes down from our parents of, you know, they worked in a certain job their whole life and it's, you know, I'm an accountant or I'm a banker or, you know, like it was a set job title. They worked in it from day dot when they left school. And I think we often can get trapped in that feeling of thinking that a business has to be one niche or one category instead of actually letting it evolve. And it's definitely something I'm learning at the moment as well of, like, you know, my business can evolve into sharing my motherhood journey. Like, I think at the start I was like, oh, can't share stuff about motherhood because I didn't have a baby when I started this. When in turn you actually, you know, there is still people that are either thinking about having children or are currently pregnant or whatever that can relate and that are actually enjoying that bit of information or that vulnerability of what you're sharing, openness. Absolutely. So
yeah.
I think just being open to that, and it's definitely something I'm learning to get a bit more comfortable with.
Motherhood in particular is just so individual and every single person has a different journey. So the more we use our voices, there's going to be people that find you and resonate with you. Like, there is just no set way. There's so many different cultures and beliefs and ways you breastfeed or don't breastfeed and conversation needs to happen. So I feel like with motherhood, it's really, the more we speak about it, and I don't know, there is a time and place, and I think there are businesses who consciously don't, like personal brands who consciously don't go into that, and that's a personal choice too that I totally respect. But for me, I'm like just too open to not talk about.
No, I love it. And that's what I love about you. So I do want to shift gears a tiny bit. And I really want to chat about your national speaking tour that you did in 2019. I'd love to know where the inspiration for these events came from. They were very large scale. You did such an amazing job. And just the energy that was, like, watching those videos and the energy that was coming from them was just absolutely incredible. You should be so, so proud. So yeah, I'd love to touch a little bit on them and find out, where that all came from.
Yeah, so I went on a national speaking tour where it was a motivational talk where I was talking about my childhood and the challenges that I faced. And it was all kind of inspired. We went to four different cities in a matter of 4 months, one a month. And it all kind of, I guess, started because I had Lola, and she was probably like 6 weeks old or 8 weeks old or something ridiculous like that. I look back at it now and I'm like, oh my God, what were you thinking? And I just remember thinking, like, fire in the belly. I need to share my story in an intimate space. I want to hold space for women. And people were requesting meet and greet a situation where they could meet me. So I kind of put the two and two together and thought, you know, a 6 months time should be long enough. Next year, probably in like August 2018, I was like, next year I'm going to go on a national speaking tour. I said it to Clay and he's like, of course you are. Like, why not? Like, he just like, rolls his eyes at me. And I had an event coordinator who's like my assistant still kind of step into that role, even though she was more my assistant than an event coordinator. But she completely helped me take that on. And I'd never had any experience in event planning before. So it was very overwhelming. There were so many different moving parts in a different city each time. And yeah, we had over 1,200 people in attendance. And for me, I adore my community and I adore reading messages, but I don't think there's much that can really compare to hugging someone, seeing someone in real life, looking into their eyes, sharing that story from that point of view. Like, I just don't think anything can compare to that. So I wanted to hold space. I wanted to meet them and I wanted to share some really intimate details of my life. So I did that and it was the most incredibly challenging and tiring because I was very vulnerable up on that stage. But to know that I've met those women, impacted them in a way that is so deeply ingrained into my purpose, and it was called the Purpose Tour, it's something that I'll forever look back at and be just so incredibly grateful and amazed that I pulled it off. And I learned a lot in terms of how hard I pushed myself work-wise. I think in hindsight, I pushed myself just a little bit too hard, but I don't think I would have been able to pull it off without pushing myself that hard. But I look back now and Lola was so little and I was just so hard on myself, like, you know, far out. I had it when I was actually on tour, I was still breastfeeding, like a 7-month-old baby.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That I couldn't imagine, I guess, doing. I think, you know, I really underestimated the impact that breastfeeding would have on me, on my energy levels. I think, you know, it's something that we see women do every day and you kind of are like, oh, yep, okay, it's just the natural part. And yeah, maybe it is natural, but it's definitely not easy and it definitely comes with its challenges. So I just couldn't even begin to imagine you doing that, like doing that on that scale with all of that going on. It's, yeah, absolutely incredible that you were able to pull that off. Yeah, mind blowing. I know, like, I did my live tours when I was 35 weeks pregnant, and like that was a learning curve in itself.
No, I could not do that. My capacity was growing a child when I was pregnant. Do not ask me to do anything else. So,
yeah. And isn't it crazy how we have different experiences? Like, you know, because I was probably the opposite, where that first kind of 6 months, like, I couldn't give a huge amount to anyone other than my daughter.
In your defense, too, I think first child is so different to second child because it's just you're in shock. You're like, oh my God, this is my first ever experience of this and it's all new. Whereas second child, I feel like, yeah, I was like, I've done it before, so surely it's going to be okay.
I know what this is all about.
Oh God, so naive. But, you know, I think, I don't think I could have done it. I definitely know I couldn't have done it first time around with Lexi.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I think you're selling yourself short there. But it's definitely the experience.
Oh, well, I just think you're amazing. It's such a huge achievement. Like, it's absolutely amazing. And I know that come down that comes from events, even just from working in them for years. So just being able to manage that as well, like, for the first time and experiencing those feelings after it of like, you're proud of yourself and you've accomplished something, but you're also just so, so physically, mentally, exhausted. So to even just be dealing with that for the first time is really hard, definitely, I think.
Hard. It was a lesson that taught me just because you can doesn't mean you should. And I don't have regrets. I don't have any regrets. I'm so grateful for how it was pulled off and how incredible the experience in itself was. And yes, I was very hard on myself and fatigued, but it also was the catalyst for spiritual growth and this journey that I'm on in the past 12 months where I'm leaps and bounds kinder to myself. And that's a result of being so hard on myself through that tour. So yeah, grateful for the experience and the lessons learned.
I love that. And I love that, you know, you're still using every single experience, you know, positive or negative, as a learning and as a period of growth. I think, you know, that says so much about you as a person. And I think it's why you're doing what you're doing is because you take so much from those experiences and then in turn are able to, you know, spread that message wide to others. Yeah, so well done, I think. Yeah.
Thank you. I feel like it's a survival mechanism too. It's a part of my healing because if I didn't find purpose in learning from my experiences and sharing that knowledge, I would be behind in my growth. I would be not as healed as I am today. It is absolutely a form of healing for me in knowing. I find so much comfort in that I can share my experience and perhaps, you know, alleviate some internal pressures for another woman. I find so much comfort in knowing that I can share that. And most of the time people will want to experience for themselves. But even if I'm just like an afterthought and go, oh yeah, I remember that chick said that and that was really helpful and maybe I need to read that book or maybe I need to practice that self-care method. That is, oh, that's so much to me. That is a very big part of why I share so much.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. And I'd love to finish by knowing, you know, with everything that you've achieved and all that you do, what does success actually mean to you?
Success to me is being able to have no external stimulus and no added event to your life and just to be in an ordinary moment, to be in the backyard with your family or watching a show with your loved one and just feel content. That to me, it's never been about the car I drive or what's in the bank or the house that I live in. To me, it's just feeling like I belong and that the space that I hold has love and respect in it. I know that sounds probably cliche, but it's something that I've not come from. So that to me is the ultimate success because it's something that I've never known before. So yeah, success to me is, you know, it is those moments in the backyard with my kids and my husband and just having our own little island of love. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Oh, Revy, thank you so much. I'm so, so grateful for your time and yeah, for everything that you've shared. I know so many people will get so much out of that episode and I know you are constantly giving on your channels. So if anyone does want to find you, where can they find you?
My Instagram is Revy Jane, which is R-E-V-I-E, Jane, J-A-N-E. And I'm usually just on there just doing my thing. So, yeah, you can come over and say hi. And I absolutely loved our conversation today. I could have talked forever with you.
Oh, same. Thank you so much. And I will hopefully see you sometime soon.
Would love that. Thanks so much, Mads.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a 5-star review. For any products mentioned in today's show, please check the show notes below and hit the direct links. If you'd like to suggest a future guest, please follow @TheHealthyHustlers on Instagram and send through a direct message. Until next week, don't forget to invest in you.